This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Follow the money.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
We're here. Pauly and Mark Malusis, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Follow the Money, big program coming up. Mike Pallman studio, you cannot be serious. Also, his thoughts on some NFL futures, the MLB card, ton of day games to go over as well, and his prediction on what's going to happen with the contest here at Circa. Pat 40 from Sports Illustrated. College football right around the corner. The top 25 at Sports Illustrated that they released today, and also his going back to media days all through the month of July, his thoughts on college football. Matt Eumanns with some preseason picks coming up as well, and Jeff Seeley in half an hour, St. Jude, as we'll talk some golf. Moose, how you doing, friend? A lot going on here. I can't believe this Lakers story, which we'll get into. I mean, I'm stunned by this, $12.5 billion. But first things first, did you come back with the Rays over again?
I did. That was my only winner of the night, Paulie, because I gave out the Mets. I gave out the White Sox. So I'll take the Rays and A's late out there in Sacramento and Tampa. Still riding that heater, and they're up on Tampa. They're up on Sacramento, or the Athletics, I should say, right now, as that game got early, going early out there in Sacramento. So, yes, got the over last night. It's a good Wednesday. Good to be with you. Looking forward to the next 3 hours.
All right. We got a lot of day baseball. And speaking of that game, I wish we were on the air earlier. Because Tampa run line and the game over again. This has been the gift that keeps on giving. They're trying to go 9-0 on this road trip, and it's Rasmussen against Perkins. The numbers on Perkins are just horrendous, how bad he's been, and he's been batting practice. Rasmussen, 20 scoreless the last three games. The A's have lost the last nine started by Perkins. He personally is 0-5 with an ERA of 7. He's got an ERA of 9 going back, and they've lost 35 of 44, and it's already 3-0 Tampa in the third inning. They're minus 1,100 in play. You can jump in if you want to lay the 4.5 runs, or you can take 9.5 in play. But it appears that the Rays are going to do the incredible here and run the road trip 9-0. Awesome. What a story.
No, unbelievable. And they're gone in the American League East, which we've chatted about a little bit over the first 2 days that I've joined you filling in for Mitch this week, Paulie. But I think the chance for the A's to win a game in this series was that first game. And then Tampa put up that 8 spot late, then won that game 10-6. Yep. So you look at it, the Rays have been really a remarkable story. They get a lot out of a little. Not only have they put up 3 runs here in the first 3 innings, but they've also got 7 hits. The A's have just 1 hit on the afternoon, trailing 3-0, and hard pressed to believe that the Athletics are going to be able to come back and knock off the Tampa Bay Rays. But yeah, wish we were on a little bit earlier, but we're going to sit back, relax, and enjoy probably another Tampa Bay Rays win.
Yeah, and the run should keep coming for them, as Perkins has been so bad in the highest ERA since July as well, though it didn't work out yesterday, fading the Angels. As for whatever reason, Texas couldn't get the bats going. All you needed was 3 runs. Colorado and Arizona tied at 1 in the second. It's Kelly against Feltner. Incredible numbers today from Steve Mackin at VSiN.com. Feltner on the road against division opponents, 1-11. That's the Rockies' record, and his numbers have been awful all year. They touched him up in the first but left a couple ducks on the pond, and now the Rockies have tied it at 1. Arizona minus 160 in play, total of 10.5. Now, Moose, we have a 3-way tie between Arizona, Philly, and the Padres, and the Padres are ready to go. More on this game coming up as they try to get the broom out on Milwaukee. But Arizona, you can't lose games like this late in the season, as they lost at home as a big favorite against Colorado.
No, you can, and that's why kind of there was a push toward Arizona this afternoon after that loss last night. But, you mentioned Feltner. I think he's allowed 18 home runs so far this season as well. I mean, there were some favorable stats when you look at Kelly. I think 18 career starts against Colorado. His ERA is a tad over 3. So some favorable stats when you're looking at Arizona this afternoon, but that game is tied up 1 early on.
Okay, and does anybody want to make the playoffs for that final wild card in the American League? The Twins lead Baltimore 7-4 in the seventh. They're trying to take 2 out of 3 in that series. But I guess if no one's going to take it, the Tigers will say, we'll do it, right? As they won again and they've won 8 of 10, Texas lost to the Angels, as I mentioned earlier. They have a half-game lead on Detroit. Minnesota's a game and a half back. Cleveland's a mess. They've lost 8-10. They're two back. Baltimore's two back. How about the Blue Jays trying to sweep the Red Sox? Now they're going to have to jump over five teams, but Toronto's only two and a half back.
Yeah, it's hard to envision Toronto getting there, but maybe. I mean, it's been strange. I mean, it's really kind of, you know, pick your poison in the American League. Which team do you think, which team of all of these ugly teams is the prettiest? I mean, that's it, because none of them are great. It's just a matter of which one's going to get across the finish line in a decidedly average American League outside of what Tampa's been able to do, outside of what the Yankees have been able to do. So, yeah, if Detroit, and maybe, you know, getting rid of the Scooble distraction is allowing them to refocus here. Not only him, but they got rid of Mize as well. Give the San Diego Padres a ton of credit for how aggressive they were at the MLB deadline. And I know we're talking about the AL. So you look at the Tigers, imagine they go out there, they trade Scooble to the Dodgers, and they make the playoffs in the American League. I mean, that would be remarkable for a team that came into this year with expectations, even after the collapse a season ago, and really underperformed. And that's why Scooble was moved to the Dodgers.
Wheeler didn't have it today. Cardinals lead the Phillies 5-1 in the seventh. You're never out of the game within play. St. Louis -3.5, -220 at DraftKings, 7.5, the total under -120. He had been awesome off a loss, and when the Phillies had lost, which doesn't happen often because he's following Sanchez, but he didn't have it today. And Leahy's been awesome. Two runs or fewer, eight straight starts for St. Louis, and he shut down the Phillies as they're up 5-1 in the seventh and looking to win that series as well.
Yeah, and pressure on Philadelphia. I don't think there's any question about it. The interim manager, Don Mattingly, when you look at him taking over for Rob Thompson early on in the season, the fact that they added Luis Arraez at the MLB trade deadline, the fact that Harper was said, move me to the outfield. I think if you're looking at one team that would be a massive disappointment if they don't make it to the playoffs in the National League, it was going to be the Philadelphia Phillies. Paulie, it wasn't that long ago we were thinking about the Phillies in terms of challenging the Atlanta Braves atop the National League East. I mean, that's a thought that's gone by the wayside here, but Phillies have got to punch their ticket to the postseason, especially when you look at the age on that team, the expectations coming into the year, and how they were able to turn their season around.
What a stunner if they can't even make the playoffs, no doubt. And that's they could miss out. So, the big one ready to go in 3 minutes. Robbie Ray at home against May and the Brewers. San Diego trying to sweep the series. 14-4 run. They're averaging 5 runs a game. Merrill has an RBI in 6 games in a row. Are you surprised the Brewers are favored with May?
I am a little bit, especially when you look at, I was looking it up, especially when you look at May's stats on the road this year. I think his road ERA is 6.31. I mean, that's not particularly good. Now, I understand he was recently acquired by the Milwaukee Brewers, pitched well, making his Brewer debut, but now he's on the road taking on a San Diego Padre team. And it's a little bit of a differentiation there, but yeah, I'd be a little bit concerned, especially with the way San Diego's playing. I think we've seen it here in Major League Baseball. You know, we've seen it certainly with the Rays. We've seen it with the Red Sox. When teams start to get on a little bit of a heater, and San Diego is on more than just a little bit of a heater here, maybe you ride the hot hand here. Yes, I think with the pitching matchup, I am a little surprised. I think it's a case of looking at Milwaukee and looking at their record more a case than watching what we're seeing right now on the field.
Yeah, and one more. We'll get to the card later in the show, but one game I wanted to mention with you, Moose. There's a lot of bad teams in baseball right now, and you're making money fading these bad teams. I think it's time to throw. Maybe we're too late, but it's time to throw Seattle on there if you already didn't do it, because Seattle's been a mess. And it 28 times they've been held to one run or fewer. And again, they got shut down. Yankees beat them again. The Yankees are 4-0 against them, and they've held Seattle to 6 runs total in those games. Yeah. And Warren's only $1.20 at home against Bryce Miller coming up at 4 Pacific.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. And listen, we talked about it yesterday, Paulie. Wu's pitched well at Yankee Stadium, and he pitched well once again last night for the Seattle Mariners. Unfortunately, the Mariners couldn't score any runs. Weathers gave the Yankees another really good start. I think that's 4 in a row when you're looking at Ryan Weathers, to where he has pitched really well, back into the rotation starter, one of those gems when the Yankees picked up from the Miami Marlins during the course of the offseason. But the Yankees actually coming through with hitting with runners in scoring position. That's the stunner, Paulie. Right. I mean, they didn't hit the ball over the fence. They were actually 4-for-10 with runners in scoring position. Chisholm with a big hit. McMahon with a big hit. Trent Grisham with a big hit. I think that basically, you know, left Yankee fans stunned in the tri-state area after watching that game last night, because they are a horrific team with ducks on the pond. If they don't hit the ball over the fence, from what you've seen from this Yankee team, they don't score a lot of runs, especially without Judge, Stanton, and Bellinger being a part of that lineup. But yeah, Seattle's been one of, if you have to think about one of the great disappointments this year in Major League Baseball, the Seattle Mariners are right there. I mean, I don't think there's any question with the expectations coming into the year and how they have underperformed. And you mentioned it, the lineup really punchless.
Absolutely. What's the status of Boone? If they don't have a good season or go out early.
You know what? I think they love him. You know what, Paulie? I think they love Boone. They, you know, likable, affable. I think he's got the respect in that clubhouse. I think Cashman likes working with him. We get, you know, you go get a cup of coffee here in the morning. Yankee fans, all they want to talk about is Boone, Boone, Boone. And I get it. I just don't think the Yankees hold themselves to the standard anymore of win or else.
Wow.
If they lose this year in the playoffs, you'll see it. There's going to be an excuse. The inherent excuse was we were banged up all season long, and you know, Judge couldn't get into a rhythm, or Stan couldn't get into a rhythm. But I don't think Boone's job is on the line. I don't think he's on the hot seat at all. I think regardless of what happens in the playoffs, I think he's going to be coming back.
You got to run that by humans later in the show. I mean, he can't stand Boone. He thinks he's so bad. The job he's done, a 3-run home run by Colorado. They now lead 4-1. Kelly has nothing in this one. 12.5, the in-play total. They're only $2 to win, even though they're up 3 runs in play at DraftKings. I cannot believe what transpired earlier this morning. Imagine you buy something and flip it, make $2.5 billion in a year. The Lakers were sold again, and I have a ton of questions coming up next on Follow the Money. For the second time in a year, the Lakers are being sold. This time it's to Josh Kushner and Bob Iger for a record $12.5 billion. Mark Walter just bought the team last year for $10 billion. How about this, Moose? Iger said it took only 3 days to put the deal together.
Well, when it's $2.5 billion in profit in the span of a year, I guess, you know what? You're going to get somebody to move. I mean, that's insane. It's going to be an owner. It really is. I mean, the valuations of these teams, regardless of sport, continue to go out there up and up. You saw the Giants sell 10% of their team in the NFL for $1 billion. I think the latest Yankee valuation is right around $10 billion. I mean, it is crazy when you look at it, but if you're the Lakers, I mean, they're one of the brand teams in the NBA. So it was stunning, you know, especially after the news from a year ago. You think the housing market's exploding. Look at the, you know, owning a sports franchise. I mean, you own the team for a year, you make $2.5 billion on your investment.
Yeah. Let's start there. I'm glad you brought that up. At some point, there's got to be the line of demarcation where you're running out of people that can afford to buy sports franchises and pay $15, $20 billion at the rate we're going, right? So Seattle Seahawks just went for $10 billion. The Portland Trail Blazers went for $4 billion. You mentioned what happened with the Giants at 10%. The Celtics have got to be livid. The Celtics were sold last year for $6 billion, and the other people have to be ticked off is probably the five brothers and sisters of Jeannie Buss saying, hey, if you would have waited a year, you could have got another $2.5 billion. Well, you know what I'm saying, where it's like at some point we're running out of people that are able to afford this and are able to spend $15, $20 billion.
Yeah, from a singular, I think that's where you get into the finance market, right? When you're looking at these equities and these conglomerates that are going to be owning teams. I think that's where it's headed, Paulie. I mean, it really is. I mean, Steve Cohen bought the Mets, right? From Fred Wilpon, Jeff Wilpon, Saul Katz. He's worth $22 billion. But would Steve Cohen be comfortable going out there, spend $12.5 billion on the Los Angeles Lakers? Is he that? No, probably not. I mean, that is... Yeah. That's an insane amount of money. So you're 100% right. You're going to limit the marketplace in terms of who can buy them. But listen, it's good business. I mean, look at the money that is flowing in. Everybody wants more and more content. The games are king when you're looking at the NBA, when you're looking at the National Football League, not so much when you're looking at Major League Baseball, but, you know, when you're looking at the NFL and the NBA, for sure, you know, the valuations of those franchises, it's good. You have money coming in. You have the television rights deals that are coming in. Everybody wants more and more coverage, more and more games, more of this, more of that. So that's why it's good to be an owner. But do we reach a point? I think we do. At some point in time, you're going to say to yourself, well, can I really afford to buy it, or how much money is coming in? But right now it's good to be an owner, especially if you've got a team that's up for sale, because you are going to make absolute coin.
Well, it's worth what someone's going to give you for it. And I think also these estimates have been way off too. So the Lakers have been purchased for the two largest sale prices for any pro sports franchise. And that goes back in the last year. It also begs the question, what would the Cowboys go for, or even the Knicks? Because Dolan owns the Garden, and what the Knicks could go for in the great timing that they just won the title in the number one market, too. So here, Walter buys it for $10 billion, and a year later it goes for $12.5 billion, and maybe $17 billion is the number for the Cowboys. Who knows? Maybe it's higher. But once you saw the Blazers go for $4 billion, once that happened, too, and then with the expansion numbers that are being thrown around, this also led to this. And Iger and Kushner decided to pivot, in which was a shocker, because they were going to buy one of the expansion teams with Las Vegas and Seattle. But then the price is being thrown around for the expansion fee, $7 to $10 billion, Moose. And then you got to buy the arena on top of it. So I kind of see what they're doing, saying, well, why are we going to spend maybe $10 billion on an expansion team? Maybe let's just cough up another $2 billion and buy the freaking Lakers.
Now you know why the Blazers owner, great nickname, by the way, El Cheapo, that is tremendous, right? That, you know, he's thinking about moving his team from Portland to Seattle. You feel bad for the Blazers fans. Yeah, I mean, I think economically, Paul, you ran through it. It just makes more sense. And then you throw in the brand that is the Los Angeles Lakers. I mean, they are one of the kind of foundation pieces of the NBA. So if you're going to own a team and you're going to spend that kind of money, would you rather own the Los Angeles Lakers, or would you have to spend a little bit more considering building a new arena and everything that goes along with it, and the expansion fees and everything, to own, say, the Seattle Supersonics? Yeah. So, I mean, the argument is, let's own the Lakers. And it's tremendous. I mean, it really is. I mean, $12.5 billion. I don't know where the end point is for some of these franchises and what their valuation is, but you're dead on correct. A team is, we could look at the Forbes list and say, well, this team's valued at this, but what is some team, what is some individual or group of individuals willing to pay for their franchise? Because that's ultimately what the franchise is worth.
Yes, right. What would your guess be on the Knicks? Like, you would be shocked if they could get for $17-18 billion, right?
If the Lakers are going for 12.5, I mean, I would think the Knicks are right around. Hey, listen, they don't have the championship success that the Los Angeles Lakers have had.
But he owns the arena.
But he owns the arena. And they just split them up. I mean, the Knicks and the Rangers. Dolan's son is now going to be running the New York Rangers. So, you know, they've split them up in terms of two different entities. But, yeah, I mean, the Knicks, I would think it would probably be right around the same valuation, $12.5, $13, $14 billion, something like that.
Well, also, Tinfoil Hat Guy is checking in, because Mark Walter, who built his financial empire in the insurance industry, is under federal investigation for alleged tax fraud by other companies tied to the billionaire, and they seized his phone, among other things. So he's only selling he also owns the Dodgers, but he's only selling the Lakers here, and he owns the Sparks, in addition to several other sports teams. But you have that going on. And with the timing, I just can't believe listen to this. Owning the Lakers has been one of the greatest honors of my life. An extraordinary investment I will carry with me is the community, the fans, and the city that treat this team as family. And I'm grateful to Jeannie Buss and the Buss family. So this was, right? How about I know it's nice to have the money, but you just bought the team and that was one of the best things you've ever done, you said. And then a year later, you sell it. And maybe it's where smoke there's fire, what's going on around his companies and being under investigation too.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, listen, that can clearly be the case. We know what, you know, what his ownership group has done with the Los Angeles Dodgers. I don't think there's any question about it. But how do you make that statement and go out there? Well, it's been one of the great, you owned it for a year.
Yes, sir.
I mean, like, no, that kidding. Is like, it's a, yeah. I mean, you owned it for a year and LeBron left and you've got Luka and you interesting offseason and NBA free agency. It's like you owned it for 10 years, 15 years. You owned it for a calendar, 12 months, that's it. And basically now you've paired it off and you've made yourself $2.5 billion. I mean, it's crazy when you think about it, but I mean, to the victor go the spoils, the rich get richer. So for Mark Walters and that group, now they've got more money coming in, even with the investigation and all.
Well, you nailed it earlier as well, that sports is king and the live sports. I mean, the NBA gets a $90 billion TV rights deal and streaming with all the services they had. And how so the Lakers go for 12.5, and then the Lakers went for $10 billion last year, and the Seahawks went for $9.6 billion earlier this year. The Celtics, just last year, the Celtics went for $6 billion, and in 2023, the Commanders went for $6 billion. You're right about there's no end in sight and how high these numbers could keep going.
Well, right, and especially in the leagues that have these huge TV rights deals. You mentioned it with the NBA. You look at the NFL. You look at, you know, and Roger Goodell, as critical as you want to be of him in terms of how he's handled certain situations in the National Football League as a commissioner, the one thing is, Paulie, he has printed money. I mean, he is an unbelievable businessman. And in the end, that's really what owners, all they care about is what's the money coming in. And they've done a great job of marketing it, done a great job of using their leverage. They've done a great job of maximizing their value and expanding it to where, you know, you've got 17 games, 18 weeks. They're now playing internationally, everything that goes along with it. And the same thing can be said here for the NBA, where I think we're going to see, as we chat with Frank Isola yesterday, you know, the tanking is going to go by the wayside. Everyone's going to go out there and be competitive. And I think the valuations or teams being sold in the NBA, I think they're just going to go up and up here in today's day and age of the association.
Preseason football's back. Time to book your trip to Vegas. Winner's Circle Proxy is VSiN's preferred proxy service. After your required in-person registration, they handle your weekly submission so you can make your picks from anywhere. One trip to Vegas, play all season long. Schedule your appointment now. WinnerCircleProxy.com. There are over 8,000 entries in Circa Survivor and update on the pace and what they expect when it's all said and done with Mike Palm in about 45 minutes. 4-1 Rockies in the second. Giants lead the Astros 1-0 in the second. They're minus 150 in play and just underway in San Diego. Padres coming up. Brewers and Padres no score. San Diego now minus 120 total of 7.5. We'll talk golf up next with Indy Jeff Seeley. His thoughts on the St. Jude Championship. Going to start off his card with a 22-1 shot and a couple of bombs that he likes and some big names that he'll give out coming up next on Follow the Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM, Channel 158. So the A's have lost 35 of 44, and they've lost the last nine games started by Perkins, who's 0-5 personally with an ERA of 7, and he's at it again today. It's 7-2 Rays in the fourth inning. He's given up 11 hits in four innings and 7 runs. Man, this team is be nice. What a run to go 9-0 on a road trip, I'll tell you. And great
That's a good run. Maybe it's going to be the Rays' year. Maybe it's, you know, Hicks just hit a 3-run homer to give that 7-2 lead in the fourth inning. Crazy.
Yeah, and the Twins just finished off the Orioles. That's a final 7-5. Our weekly visit with Jeff Seeley at Cutmaker Jeff on X. Live Spaces on X tonight. He's on the Progressive guest line to talk FedEx St. Jude Championship. And a lot of picks coming up here as well. Tell us about the event, my friend.
Guys, we're in the FedEx Cup playoffs, right? We got the St. Jude Classic here. So one of the nice things about this is we're going to get four rounds of golf from everyone. So there's no cut this week. And we'll have 50 players advance and go the next round and see who can scoop the big pot.
Okay. Well, you want to do with your top of the leaderboard? What do you want to start your card with?
Yeah, guys. So this week, I started with Tommy Fleetwood. He's made six trips to Southwind, and he's walked away with three top four finishes. Two of those were his last three trips. So last year, his chipping let him down. Otherwise, he probably wins, but he finished third. So he's had a very good recent form run, finishing T14 or better in six straight events. That's probably why he's minus 164 to finish top 20 this week. But I really like that price a lot. I'd give him probably a 70% chance to finish top 20. So I'm going to play some Tommy on the outright. But my favorite way to play him is top 20 at minus 165. And then Fitzpatrick, I played at 23-1 a little bit. But he's had an unbelievable 2026, given us two winners on this show already this year. 17 events for Fitzpatrick this calendar year. Two wins, four more finishes inside the top five, only one missed cut. This year it's mainly been iron play as he's gained 11 on approach and gained on approach in 11 straight events prior to the Open. Played this course seven times, three top six finishes, so we know he can perform here. It's really just a function of getting his irons back on track. Another way to play Fitzpatrick this week would be in the each way market. You can find him like eight ways in each way market at 18-1 or so. But other than that, I would play him outright 23-1 in top 10. So at top of the board for me is Fleetwood and Fitzpatrick.
Jeff, when you look at the course, you know, what kind of golfer does it favor down there in Memphis?
You know, it's funny because we've seen a lot of different players have success here. And so while it's not super long, but it's not super short like it was last week. So I think, honestly, it's guys who come in with form who are, I know this is going to sound kind of silly, but guys who are just striking the ball well, which kind of goes without saying, but that's really what it takes. Is guys who are your ball strikers who are hitting the ball well at the time and making some putts. So what I look at more than anything is form. Current form has got to be good coming in. You can't come in here ice cold and expect just to show up. And then B, you know, have you had any course history here? And I've seen, you know, it's common that guys who've had some success here continue to have success. The course form here seems to be pretty consistent. So that's why a lot of the guys I'm looking at this week have at least had some decent success here.
Okay. How about guys mid-tier range now in the 30-40-1 range?
Yeah. So since the end of April, Justin Thomas has finished 23rd or better in seven of his last nine events. So interestingly enough, it hasn't been his hallmark approach game that's led to that, but it's been a very, very good short game. So JT's ball striking has been hit or miss, but there's one very clear bet for me this week. My favorite bet of the week is JT top 30 at minus 196. Yes, it's a steep price, but given his current form and the fact that he's played this course six times and never finished worse than 30th, along with the fact that he's finished 23rd or better and seventh of his last nine, I think that's a great price. Like, this is my favorite play of the card. I'm going to play a little on the outright, but I think that's a really good way to play it. We're going to talk about another guy here, Russell Henley, at 39-1. Mm-hmm. Played 17 events in 2026, as 12 finishes inside the top 25, including a win. The concern with Henley is that his around-the-green game has been abysmal lately, having lost an average of 2.5 strokes over the last six events. His putting largely made up for that, thankfully for him. Ball striking's been okay. He hasn't been great or horrible here, but here's another case where, like, minus 200 seems like a very fair price for a top 30. So on DraftKings right now, you can parlay a Henley top 30 and JT top 30 at, like, plus 125 or so. I think that's another really interesting way to play this, and I'd have a little bit on each on the outrights. And then probably the bomb squad, the long shots every week, Akshay Bhatia, I think 76-1 is a great example of form versus history. Yeah. He's coming in with seven missed cuts in 2026, but missed cuts in his last two events, but he can't miss the cut here, right? There's no cut. So the question is, can he finish top 10? His last two finishes here have been T6 and T12, and he finished T5 at the Travelers just a few weeks ago. So I'd say, yeah, he can finish top 10 here. I think plus 430 for a top 10 for Bhatia is a great buy. I give him at least a 25% chance at top 10, so I think we have some value there. And then lastly, Aaron Rye, another guy I look at in the top 30 market. Since early May, he was T5 at the Myrtle, won the PGA, and has had four top 30s or better. He hasn't been great anywhere, but he hasn't been horrible anywhere either. And again, there's no cut. So as much as I like this, you know, as much as I liked last week where he finished T29, I think that's a very good comparison. This week, he's played here six times, finished inside the top 30 four times. So another scenario where on DraftKings, where you get a guy, this week he's minus 125 top 30. Very good price for Aaron Rye. Again, so a little conservative on the top 20s and top 30s, but I think it's a great way to play this week. And then sprinkle a little on the outright if you want some action on that side.
That's fantastic.
Jeff, who are you?
Sorry.
Yeah. I just had another question. Who are you fading? Like, who are you concerned about coming into the St. Jude? That might be toward the top of the market when you're looking at the betting markets. Anybody that you would stay away from?
You know, it's interesting because I'm actually not going to play Scotty or Rory this week. Again, a no cut event. A lot of talent here in this field, and not that either can't win, but especially Scotty at plus 450. I'm just there's just too much talent, and everybody's going to get four rounds. He's going to have to outrun a lot of people. So yeah, I'm out on him. Rory, kind of the same thing. So I think this week is the week you try to find some value. I like Batia and Rye. I think are two great examples, right? Rye won a major this year. Batia's won. Like, those are two guys, 76 and 78 to 1. They can win a major. They can win an event like this. So that's a great price. This is not about this week about kind of just buying guys lower on the board. Today's about, this week to me, on my mind, is about getting value in top 20s, top 30s, and then throwing some darts at some higher priced guys like 70, 80 to 1. Who we know can win. So to be honest with you, I'm fading a lot of guys at the top of the board. Again, Scotty, Rory to begin with, but even the Obergs, the Morikawas, I mean, Cam Youngs, they're all good odds. They're all obviously very good players, but everybody's a good player at this point. There's no scrubs left in the field. So now it's just a matter of finding a little bit of value in the placement markets and trying to hit some darts in the outrights.
Last time you were on, you mentioned a meet and greet with Sophie Cunningham and your daughter. How did that go with the fever?
I mean, it was great. Sophie Cunningham is, she was awesome. It was a great game. Unfortunately, you guys saw the Aces game. Obviously we lost with two buzzer beaters. What a heartbreaking game, but, it was amazing. She couldn't have been cooler. Awesome event. The fever, kind of helped support that. And it was great. And I'm still long on this team. I mean, guys, you guys watch this. They have the best backcourt in the WNBA. They have an all-star power forward. And so it's just a question of can the drama stay low? And which is always
no
a question
kidding.
I think with this team. And Sophie might be a polarizing character, but I mean, in our case, this was if you're a veteran and you can bring your kid, you know, she would do a meet and greet and take care of us. And it was awesome. So, obviously proud to be a veteran, but the stuff she does for veterans and just she's a great person. I think a lot of her, and it was a great event, and couldn't say enough nice things about Sophie Cunningham.
All right, thanks for a few minutes. Good luck this week. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, folks. Take care.
You know, the tirade worked out last night by Stephanie White, and a money quote, which I wish I had before the game. But after the game, Caitlin Clark said there was no way we were losing tonight. We are a tight-knit group. And we are so together now after what White did with the tirade before the game and what's happened in the last week, which it's a WNBA. There's a ton of drama off the court, and there's politics and everyone jumping in. They got to say this about the foul. You have to say that. But they can score, I'll tell you that. I don't know if they're going to defend, but they can score with anybody.
Oh, they're entertaining. And that's the shame of it, because there's a lot of great basketball being played in the WNBA. Unfortunately, the focus gets taken away to 8 million other things other than the game.
Right. Win-lose coming up next. Some vicious beats and an update on Forbes estimates of the world's most valuable sports teams.
Win Some, Lose Some is sponsored by The Sharp Plays. Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Pauly Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
Big tickets cash last night in MLB with the anytime home runs. Ruiz 13-1, Pereira 11-1, likewise Young 11-1. No Russ with Snell. Daily specials, most strikeouts 15-1, double-digit strikeouts. I didn't think he'd go that long, and he was fantastic. First time back since May as the Dodgers win again, and Snell was fantastic. Most runs, you had it again, Moose. Rays 8-1. Highest scoring game, Rays and A's 8-1. It's probably going to cash again. Last check, it was 7-2 in the fourth. Rockies plus 150. And Merrill Kelly has nothing today. Batting practice. There was a splash home run while we were at break. It's 6-1 Rockies in the fourth.
Wow.
Arizona playing so well, and now they're about to lose 2 out of 3 at home to Colorado, who they've owned the last 3 years at home. He's been great, but he has nothing here.
Yeah, and Kelly's been really good against the Colorado Rockies, which you've hit upon, especially coming off the tough loss last night. You would think Arizona would come right back this afternoon. Starting pitching matters. Kelly terrible today, and Colorado's teeing off.
St. Louis plus 145 and the Angels plus 135. They got the win against Texas. Liberty Fever over 191.5 up to 194.5. Ton of points scored in that game. No problem there. Subscribe, be part of the team, VSiN.com. Our radio and podcast friends, you always want to see these tweets and videos. At Pauly Does Vegas on Instagram. Send them in. We'll put you on. Look at this. How good. This is the baby, the puppy beagle. Is this, closing the eyes, not just trying to swim, just tap the water. I had my ex-girlfriend had a chihuahua, and if you would hold the dog up over the water, he would do that without even being close to the water. Here, this guy.
Really?
Yeah. So this is a new one, but the kind of where it's just, he's not even swimming, but just to get a feel of the water, how he's doing it with his eyes closed. But the chihuahua used to, if you held him over it, he would, like he was swimming.
You'd pretend to start swimming.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I've not taken our two-year-old into the water yet, so I get a little nervous, but I think you probably acclimate. But that is, these videos, Paulie, kind of make my day, whether it be the brother and sister. And this one, they're adorable. They like make your day. You put a smile on your face. Like, who doesn't love that video? How could you not love dogs?
You got it. And it hits every demographic. And thanks to everyone who sends them in every single day on Instagram at Pauly Does Vegas. How about this? So you worked 7 years for Mike and a Mad Dog.
Yeah.
At WFAN. Today's the anniversary. Sopranos 1997, the pilot episode, went into production, and the rest is history. I can't imagine when that show is rocking and rolling, you knew it was something special in year one. What is that show so big? It's what everyone's talking about around a water cooler. And are they starting with that on a Monday after a big episode on a Sunday?
Absolutely.
Wow.
When the Sopranos was like peak Sopranos, like I would say like the last 3-4 years where you felt like the entire country, Paulie, was watching it on a Sunday night. Yeah, they were breaking it down. I mean, I think there were times where Mike or Chris would call Don Imus in the morning and they'd talk about the Sopranos the very next day on Imus in the morning, and then they'd open it up at 1 o'clock. And at some point, especially during slow summers and a slow summer Monday. And now, listen, Mike and Chris used to take a, you know, or in the fall when that thing would get going there, there'd be a scenario where, you know, yes, they'd lead to it on a Monday, especially when it was a huge episode, because that series was just, I mean, you can go back and watch it. It still holds the test of time.
Yes, it does.
You can't believe that, you know, James Gandolfini passed away. It's a remarkably written show. It's so well acted, so many funny lines. So, yes, there were many times where Mike and Chris would lead their show with it.
Imagine Russo breaking this episode down like it's an NFC title game, right? I mean, how good would that be?
That would be it, right? How to do it, Mikey? How to do it? Yep. I mean, that is unbelievable. I mean, listen, Tony, there was no other choice there. There was no other choice there. He couldn't do anything. He was backed into a corner.
Yeah. I have to have a discussion with you one time about him, how he goes off, and he loves travel and airports. And that's a half-hour discussion. How'd you get here? Okay, take me through how you got here. What's your route? What train did you get on? Oh, I mean, he's fascinated by travel.
Paulie, so Russo would walk in when we were working at the Kauffman Astoria Studios. And listen, my time at Mike and Chris was, I learned so much. We were talking about during the course of the break, legendary. They were an unbelievable pairing. They really were, right? And people were locked in the tri-state area when they hit the airwaves at 1 o'clock. But Chris would walk in, he'd have his briefcase, not a traditional one, the one that goes over the shoulder. But in there was his, you know, was his basically date book to where he'd write everything down. And also in there was basically the book that had every airline and every flight in the country. So they'd break down to when announcers would get announced for football games to see where, and if a certain announcer had other duties, like Ian Eagle would do a lot of NBA games, right? But he would also, and obviously with the Nets, but he would also do NFL games on CBS. Russo would try to figure out how he was getting from one city to the next city in order to call the NFL game. Like, it was amazing. And then they'd call, like, Ian to confirm it, to see exactly what the flight patterns were, what his flights were. Oh, was he nervous? God. He was going to make it? Yes. I mean, it was crazy. It was unbelievable.
He's nervous. He's going to make it. One of a kind. No doubt about it. That's awesome. Lose some. Sparks +1 to -2. No good in the WNBA, and two bad beats. Dodgers, Royals under. It was 1-1 in the seventh. It exploded late, and the White Sox were up 4-1 in the eighth, and they lost to the Reds. Football season is here. Sharp money already moving. Here's how they see it and how they see it first. Exclusive data feeds from four major books. Thousands of sharp bettors and pro syndicates tracked in real time before the market moves, all of it filtered and sorted by version 6.0 of their AI model. And the receipts, every play logged, every result public. Results and records go back to 2011. No one else in the industry runs this terminal. Check it out anytime. No login, no paywall. They get audited daily. No steam chasing, no stale trends, no recycled plays. Follow the Sharp Money and the daily Mr. Poison tweets at sharpplays.com. Fantastic. Get the Telegram as well. Sharpplays.com. Forbes 2025. Estimates. Cowboys, $13 billion. Golden State Warriors, $11 billion. L.A. Rams, $10.5 billion. New York Giants, $10.1 billion. Imagine how the Knicks have exploded in value, $9.75 billion. Then they go out and win a title, and now, I mean, forget about how hard it is to get tickets and what it's like there as well. And then the Lakers just go for $12.5 today as well. You said a good one, too, during the break. Where are the Yankees in all this? What do you think the Yankees would go for?
I mean, if you think about it, not only the Yankees, they have their own stadium, they also have their own network, too, when you're looking at the YES Network as well. So, I mean, there's a lot that goes into New York Yankees baseball. I mean, I would imagine they'd be right where the Dallas Cowboys are, you know, $12, $13, $14 billion, something of that nature. But, Paulie, if I'd ask you one question right now, if you could pick one team to own, like of all those, like you were able to get it, you were able to put together the group, you're owning a team, which team would you want to own?
Good question. I think it's got to be an NBA team. Just because I would also want that power of it's a hot ticket. It's so hard to get the ticket. Just after what we watched with the Knicks and the insane prices and what I would love to be on the end of those phone calls and requests, whether it's New York or LA, and with all the celebrities reaching out, hey, can I get to? Hey, can I get on the floor tonight? Hey, because, you know, Cowboys, because you're holding, you're talking 80, 90,000 people then at that point. Yankees, you know, whatever that holds, you're talking what, 40, 50,000 people. I think it'd be the Knicks. Right. I think it'd be the Knicks or the Lakers.
Yeah, to me, I would agree with you. To me, it would probably be the Knicks. Knicks or the Yankees, that would be the two. I mean, the Yankees are just, I mean, I grew up a Yankee fan. To be able to own that franchise would be remarkable. But the Knicks are great. I mean, and then you got to deal with the stars complaining. Remember Hank Azaria complaining that he wasn't sitting on the wood?
Yes.
And Taylor Swift was, because yes. And she's not a real Knicks fan, and he was had to go into some suite, and he was not able to be right on the court. I mean, that's what you got to deal with here if you're owning the New York Knicks.
We mentioned it when it happened that night. All hell broke loose when Charles and Shaq said to Ben Stiller, how much have you paid for season tickets over? He goes, I get comped. Yeah. He goes, he takes care of me. So then it's like, well, wait a second. How come Ben Stiller gets free tickets and I don't? And what that bleep storm started like and what that, because they were under the impression that he pays. He goes, no, he's been comping me for years.
Yeah, they all the stars, none of those, because they want the who's who to be there. So they all get comp tickets. I mean, but if you were to try and buy those tickets, it would cost you, I mean, basically the price of a home. I mean, to go out there and buy those tickets to sit on it. But yeah, all those stars, they're all comp the tickets because they want them to be there because it sets the scene that everybody wants to be at a New York Knicks game.
NFL news coming up next. You won't believe what Ben Johnson said today, and we'll get into some surprises and disappointments on how we see with the upcoming season coming up next on Follow the Money. Paulie and the Moose, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM Channel 158.